Okay. How are we feeling out there? After another Steelers draft is in the books, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, and Artie Smith. Breaking it all down, we will have a head coach on with us in just a few minutes to break down one of the prospects the Steelers picked in this year's draft. The grades are out. The grades are sterling. These are not Mrs. Muller English grades. She was a stickler. She was a tough one, Malzi. The red pen. There were some C's that would come out.
Well, we at the Catholic school system always thought you guys at public schools had it easy. A in public schools, what, 90 to 100, right?
Yeah.
80 to 89 for a B. You got a 90 on a paper at Catholic school? You got a B, my friend. 93 to 100, 85 to 92.
If you're not reading your Deuteronomy, okay, if you're not boning up on exactly what went down in Exodus,
your Torah,
folks,
the Pentateuch, yeah. Oh, yeah, all of it. Deuteronomy, a very funny word to say with a Pittsburgh accent.
You don't know
accent.
Your sacraments inside and out.
You don't know what it's like to go to church in Pittsburgh until you hear a woman get up there in the thickest Yinzer accent imaginable and go, reading from the book of Deuteronomy.
If you don't know Bishop Zubik's favorite candy bar, you're going to be in big trouble.
I was in the Whirl era. My mom had to deal with all the bishops, too. She's an eighth grade teacher. Kids are getting confirmed, man.
The grades are just out of this world. Kuiper, A minus. That actually seems low, but he admitted that he's a Ravens fan and it was hard to give the Steelers an A.
I love that he said that in his breakdown. It's extremely difficult for me to give the Steelers a good grade on anything.
NFL A, CBS Sports A, The Athletic, Dane Brugler, second best draft class, the one ahead of them, the Bears with the number one pick and the number nine pick.
I'm surprised it wasn't the Eagles.
This team drafted 20th, came away with, in his opinion, the second best draft. It's quality and quantity for me. That's how I'm going to explain why I like it so much. There have been so many great Steelers drafts that you look at it and you think, oh, well, in 98, they get Faneca and Hines Ward, one Hall of Famer, one borderline Hall of Famer. In 2003, they get Troy Polamalu and also Ike Taylor. 2010, Pouncey and AB, two guys that could end up in Canton. So they would have very top-heavy Greg Lloyd, Rod Woodson, same draft class. There are few drafts. Now, 74 is obviously the great outlier and the best draft of all time. By the way, someone did compare it to the 74 draft, that person being me.
Well, that's a guarantee that it's going to suck.
The quality and quantity, the double Qs, it's rare that you get a draft where you feel like you found four or five starters. The one that rings a bell for me is actually not a Tomlin draft. It's a Colbert draft in 02. If you look at the 02 draft, four of those guys started in Super Bowl 40, and the one guy who didn't was Kiesel.
He was the fifth guy. Mainstay for many, many years.
Yep, you had four guys who started in a Super Bowl a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
You have a draft like that, you reshape your football team. I feel like they did that in this draft. And the thing, I was prepared thinking Friday night watching it that we were going to come on the air and pull the stunt that Dorn and Crowley did where you're singing Country Roads and Dorn is decked out in West Virginia gear. And by the way, Bostic livid with Dorn from what I've heard. Not good situation.
I thought Dorn,
potentially untenable.
But I thought Dorn, I'm going to stick up for Dorn here.
Good. We should. He's our teammate. I'm going to stick up for Dorn too.
Well, I'm going to stick up for him because as a guy who grew up rooting for Pitt during the Tom Tumulty years, when Ohio State had eight players on the field returning a punt for a touchdown against Pitt, and then who went to Penn State and then never rooted for Penn State. I thought Dorn did the best of both worlds. I'm going to wear a West Virginia shirt. That's going to make the Pitt crowd angry until it's a West Virginia shirt that says beat Penn State.
Oh, well done.
I thought he played, what a stroke of brilliance by those guys. I thought he played five-dimensional chess
that
there.
That is good.
I thought he was doing a terrific job with that. I'm going to finger wag
Bostic. Well, maybe I think Bostic was unaware that he was going to go that route.
No, he's got to do a little digging. I know Pat gets deep in the notes for his game prep. He's got to go take a look at
Dorn's
picture.
Oh, he was ragging on Dorn terribly
on
Saturday.
Tisk, tisk.
So I thought it was going to be about Frazier. As it turned out for me, what happened in the third round is the crown jewel of the draft. To get the Wilsons, we might have to get Tom Cruise screaming, or Tom Cruise. We might have to get Tom Hanks screaming Wilson.
How could they not draft a guy named Phillips after that so you could have Wilson Phillips?
Johnny Wilson was just sitting there in the sixth round, the big dude from Florida State.
Just begging to be picked.
Could have made the whole plane out of Wilson's. Malzi, they got Roman Wilson, who ran a 4.39 40, didn't drop any balls, caught 12 touchdown passes, and is the antithesis of the receivers that have driven us crazy over the last few years. He's not a Pickens. He's not a Johnson. He's not even a Juju, where Juju was not a malicious guy, but clearly he was me first in that his brand was central to everything he did.
I'm not going to lump Juju in, though, because he played like a tough SOB on the field.
Okay, but then when he started dancing on logos and got...
That stuff was dumb, but when the whistles were going, it was the 60 minutes. I will give Juju credit.
Yeah, but he went out there and played his ass off. When he's dancing on logos, it turned into a huge distraction for them.
By the way, is there a shirt already at Yinzer's down in the strip that says no block, no rock yet? We got one of those?
That's a good line. So to get him in the third round, I think, is another example of the Steelers finding water from the rock, if you will, in the third round with receivers, just finding great players late. And then the Peyton Wilson thing. Getting him, I thought both of those guys potentially could have been their second round pick. And they get Wilson's at 84 and 98. When you watch the Peyton Wilson highlights, I don't know if it stands out this way to you guys, doesn't it just, you see him run and you see him move and you see the numbers? It made me think, how in the world was Devin Bush the 10th pick in the draft? Peyton Wilson moves like Devin Bush, but he's 6'4". He's a large human being. He's oftentimes, as his defensive coordinator said, the fastest guy on the field. He won the defensive player of the year in college football and the linebacker of the year in college football. He doesn't have an ACL.
Neither did DeJuan Blair or John Elway.
Or Hines Ward.
Nobody gave him a chance to not have an ACL, but he managed to not. He also has a bad shoulder, too.
Yeah. I don't know all the... I need to maybe text Dr. Chow about the shoulder. But I know about the knee, and there's just no ACL. He didn't miss games the last 2 years.
Can't tear an ACL if you don't have an ACL. The old point there, right? I would assume that probably does some degenerative stuff.
I mean, those two guys took what I thought was a great draft already with the first two offensive linemen and propelled it to, like, this could go down in the history books as one of their best drafts. It's an A+.
A+ draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an A+ draft because of what happened in the third round with Wilson's.
I give it an A. An A is not an A+. I vacillated between A- and A. Kuiper gave it an A-. Fautanu, A. Frazier, if you want to give an A+, I think you give an A+ there because very few people, I felt like, up until maybe the second round got started, thought he would last to 51. And then presumably Omar Khan's there nibbling his fingernails down to nothing again, waiting for Zach Frazier. I want to give a huge shout-out to David Tepper right now. Big shout-out to Big Tep, a guy who definitely wants to be the only person seen in the center of that war room for the Panthers with his big Oxford dress shirt slapping everybody's hands. They trade up. I go, oh, crap. Here comes
Powers Johnson had already been picked.
Powers Johnson gets picked. Here come the Panthers. They're going to trade up and they're going to take the center. They're the other team that needs one. And those boneheads took a running back. Best running back in the draft, but still a running back. And then it started to become real. Roman Wilson, I'll say one thing about Peyton Wilson. I don't really have anything to add about Roman Wilson. I like the pick. I think he's a pure slot guy to me. You still need an outside receiver. It seems like they feel like they're going to find one, whatever. The only reason I'm going to be...
Do they?
Everything I'm reading, they seem to suggest, yeah, he can play outside, but we still want to find one more.
Find him where?
Tyler Boyd. Pick up the phone again and say, hey, what are you doing? I don't know.
I'd love that, but Peyton, I don't have great confidence that that's going to happen.
Peyton Wilson, the reason I am not... I gave that pick a B or a B+. I have to go look at my sheet. And the reason I didn't give it an A is this, and I'm trying to be mature about this. He has a real injury history. We all got over the moon watching Darnell Washington move the blocking sled like it was...
Sure.
Like it, there was nothing on it. Like it had no weight on it whatsoever. He had an injury history that caused him to fall. I would say Darnell Washington had an okay first year. Okay.
I think you're being nice.
Probably not okay.
He blocked fine, but I think that was underwhelming.
Seven catches.
Just not going to develop as a pass-catching tight end.
So we all were very pumped about that pick, and it didn't pan out. Obviously, Peyton Wilson's job is going to be a little different. Run and hit, run and tackle, run and cover. I'm sure he can do those things.
He can cover. That's the good point
well,
that
he's
he just
a,
made
he's
there.
He's a three-down linebacker, and now theoretically they have a pair of them, and he and Queen.
Yep.
I have real misgivings about the injury history. And you say, well, that's not a good reason to dock a grade. I think it is. If Peyton Wilson stays healthy, you'd give that pick an A++, right?
But he's been healthy his last 2 years, Chris.
Pony, it doesn't mean that it's going to last. There's multiple injuries on the docket for him. If he stays healthy, it's a terrific pick. What I like most about their draft is I thought they continued something that started last year. They are building an identity. They're rebuilding one, you might say. The identity is we want to come out and kick your ass, period. Yep. And I don't think a single player in this draft class embodies that actually more than Mason McCormick, who's not a pick I love because there was a corner there that they could have had, TJ Tampa, who I thought that they would like, an Iowa State kid, Big 12
guy. Well, that
guy
just kept falling. He was Kuiper's number one player for about 7 days.
And do you
want
to know why I'm not happy?
Because he went to the Ravens.
Yes!
Baltimore always does that.
Correct, and then he'll probably be good. But they have committed to saying, we really do want to bully you and kick your ass. They couldn't do it with the quarterback situation being what it was last year. They fixed that. This McCormick, you know what he reminded me of quickly? Remember the movie The Program? Those videos of him getting ready to, like, Motley Crue or whatever and looking like he's ready to headbutt a cinder block reminded me of what's his name from The Program, the linebacker, the psychopath.
He reminded me of the guy from Varsity Blues with the flat top. What was that guy's name?
Billy Bob?
Billy Bob. He looked like a more athletic Billy Bob.
I think the guy's probably a backup lineman at least for a couple of years here until maybe he grows into a starter. Like the scouting reports on him are not terrific.
Really? Kuiper loves him. He's got him as the 86th ranked player in the draft.
Lance Zierlein's the guy I go to as my standard for all of these just so I keep reading the same guy.
What does he know? His dad got fired because he sent out an email about porn.
Is he his father? Doesn't your dad like show his bare ass cheeks in movies?
They cut that scene.
Oh, so he showed his bare ass cheeks and it didn't even make
the
final cut.
Yeah, The Rock was in the same shower. Their butts were both out.
Was he a butt double?
Not for The Rock.
That would be a real flex, wouldn't it?
Kuiper had McCormick as the best offensive player in the FCS
in the draft. I just like that they're committing to the idea that our line has been a problem and we're going to try to fix it. And now this is 2 years running. They'll have turned over 60% of their offensive line because the first two picks should start day one.
Kid's tough. He plays football the right way. He loves football. He wanted to be a Steeler. I know that just talking to him, working the kid out. So we're obviously excited to have him. So we got obviously have him penciling it at the guard position, and he'll come in and compete from day one.
First time in almost a half century, the Steelers took three offensive linemen in three of their first five picks. The third, Pat Meyer, the Steelers offensive line coach, talking about him there. Mason McCormick won a national championship at South Dakota State, stuck around there, made a point to say, I wasn't going to take the NIL money. I wasn't going to go into the portal and get the fast cash. This program poured a lot into me. So a big loyalty guy, probably something the Steelers liked about him. And for more on the Steelers' first FCS, is it the first FCS player drafted in the Tomlin era? Can't be, is it? We'll have to double check that.
Now I'm doing the math here, yes.
Definitely the first FCS offensive lineman. His coach joins us on the Fan Hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service. National championship winning coach, Jimmy Rogers, South Dakota State, here on 93.7 The Fan. Jimmy, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller in Pittsburgh. First things first, you got to like a guy to come on a Pittsburgh station. You're in Dakota, and you get an email, hey, can you come on and talk about one of your players? And you immediately jumped on this opportunity. So you've got to be a big Mason McCormick guy, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm a big Mason is a staple of this program. He is what this place was built on, which is, you know, you mentioned that he is about as loyal as it comes. He's a gritty kid that worked himself into being arguably our best offensive lineman that we've ever had here. But he's putting himself up there with one of the best offensive linemen that's played in FCS football for the past decade. So we've been blessed to have him. We've been blessed to have him maybe more as a person and what he's done from representing South Dakota State, right, academically, football-wise, and just overall those things, they matter. And he speaks on them authentically and genuinely, and we've been blessed to be around him.
Jimmy, can you say a little more about the fact that this guy, presumably Mason McCormick, could have gone and jumped up into FBS, as Andrew said before we put you on here, could have maybe taken the NIL money, could have tried to just play for a more visible program. I know you guys are very visible in the FCS world, but could have gone up a level in competition. What it means to you, to the program, that he stayed and that he was loyal?
Yeah, it means the world, honestly, because we recruit off of it. You know, we had 8 players get picked up to go to the NFL. It's a high number for FCS. I think it's a high number just in general. But all 8 of those guys were illegally recruited and offered big money to go elsewhere, and they stayed. And I think it's a commitment to what we do as a program for them, and them acknowledging that and staying loyal to. Really, our commitment was to develop them, and we felt like we had done that, and then they get to a certain point, and they're offered money, and they still stay because they value the relationship that has been created here over time. Mason has been huge in keeping this team together, and the more success that we have and the type of players that we're getting in this building, that part of college athletics is getting extremely hard, and to have guys like that in your program, it sure helps.
Jimmy Rogers is South Dakota State's head football coach. He was Mason McCormick's college coach. McCormick, the Steelers' 4th-round pick, the 3rd offensive lineman they took. He was described as the meanest, nicest guy in the world. Jimmy, can you confirm that and what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I love the kid. He plays the game the right way. He nonstop motor. He practices with intent in everything he does, and he holds those around him to that same intensity. But as far as like who he is as a person, he's got an old soul now. He'd rather come in and shoot the shit with older gentlemen than hang out with his buddies at time. I mean, the guy never leaves the facility. He's always in here watching film. Hell, during spring ball, right, he's getting ready to go to the NFL. And I see him in position meetings, and he's done with us. You know, he just wants to be around the game and continuously try to help and grow his craft.
Jimmy, so obviously getting picked in the 4th round means there's a lot that NFL teams like. It's not some projection. It's not an undrafted free agent or a very late round pick where certain things have to break a player's way. Like, there's an expectation for a guy who's picked in the first 120 or so picks. What is Mason's one trait, if you had to pick one, that you think most readily translates right now to the NFL game?
I think the game more than anything honors toughness, and he's as tough as they come. So I know he'll make it. I've said this to everybody. If he's given an opportunity, he's not going to have a stint. He'll have a career in the NFL. And I think that stems from his toughness and his consistent work ethic day in and day out. And yeah, there will be no shock to me if he's a day 1 NFL starter.
Wow. Jimmy Rogers with us, South Dakota State's head football coach, Mason McCormick's college coach. Were you at the draft party that seemed to be held in this big VFW with elk heads on the wall and old vintage beer signs and whatnot?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, that was locally here in town. It's about a block from my house. I was blessed to be a part of that. A lot of our other guys' draft parties were back home in different states and stuff. So to be able to be a part of Mason's, it was pretty special.
Now,
for us.
His offensive line coach here already said hobby of his, big hunter, big fisherman, blue-collar guy. Can you confirm that too, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, like, he'll get out when he can. I would say his biggest hobby, he wanted to come across like he's got more to him than football, is probably being at this facility training and watching film. I mean, that's what he does.
He's a junkie.
All day, every day. He's a junkie.
He's a ball lover.
Is he a guy that it's going to show up we're hearing based on you've coached the guy his whole time, obviously. Can I call you a lifer with the South Dakota State program? Because that seems like your
career.
Been there a long time. You have a deep connection, so you know this guy very well. Is his pass protection more pro ready right now? I know you're going to say he's a tough guy, he's going to do whatever, but what did he excel at in particular? What was better, the run blocking for you guys or the pass blocking? And you can't pick both. I know they were both great. That's why he just got drafted in the 4th round. Which one did you think was even better?
Yeah, I would probably say run blocking, to be honest. I know he got a lot of credit of the pass blocking just being at the East West Shrine and some of the highlights that were shown, but Mason is one of the more fleet of foot players that we've had, the ability to bend and redirect and hit a moving target. I think that will still be a strength at the next level. I know this. If you were to ask him what he would want to do, he would say, run the ball. So I think that's what you want in your O-line, and he was a blessing, honestly. I wish everybody worked half as hard as what he was able to do while he was here, because he was a transformative leader for us as a guy that showed up every single day. That, you know, if you were to ask me what he lacks, there's probably more in that category at the NFL level. And he has worked himself into an elite talent. And I think that you could see that on his measurables and what he was able to accomplish just at the combine.
I can't stop watching that highlight video his Twitter account put out in February, where he's in the locker room, head bobbing to some music and getting hyped up for the game. Then the highlights start and he's just putting people on their wallet.
Yeah. We give a lot of, places, O-line are kind of hidden, not here. The O-line is glorified at South Dakota State.
Well, then he'll like it here because we like our O-line in Pittsburgh.
Jimmy,
we put them on a pedestal. He'll fit right in.
He's in a good place then. He's going to like it here a lot.
Well, hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on with us. Congrats on the national title again last year. And you keep it up. We'll probably have you on again to talk about one of your kids.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
There
Thanks,
you go.
Guys.
You bet. Jimmy Rogers, South Dakota State head coach.
I mean, bonus points that the video set to kickstart my heart.
But who do you think's personality is more in tune with Donnie's? Mason McCormick or Zach Frazier?
All of the above.
I actually think McCormick.
No, I actually think it's Frazier. I do think it's Frazier. Because I don't know, Donnie, I've never seen Donnie mad. Like, it sounds like McCormick, when he gets out on the field, can turn in a good way to a raving lunatic. I have a hard time just seeing Donnie go full Incredible Hulk mode here.
Frazier's hobby is like making...
woodworking.
Yeah.
Doesn't that strike
making
you as...
Making cutting boards and...
Doesn't it strike you, though, as Frazier could be a guy, like, in an action movie who they take his dog or something and then he snaps and he's beating people to death with bedposts?
Isn't that just the theme of John Wick?
Yeah. By the way, I have an FCS answer for you, Chalooch. Javon Hargrave, most recent in 2016.
That's right.
And then Cortez Allen from the Citadel.
No one on offense. Mm-mm. So he's the first one.
Versatility kind of speaks for itself. I think I'm able to play in the box as well as drop into coverage. Growing up, just watching the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, that's kind of the way that I modeled the way I play. You know, just hard and fast and physical and playing as tough as you can play. Just super excited to get with everyone there and, you know, continue to elevate my game.
That is Peyton Wilson. 138 tackles, 17.5 for loss, 6 sacks, ran a 4.43. Chuck Bednarik Award winner for best defensive player. The Butkus Award for the best linebacker in college football. And he goes to the Steelers with the 98th pick. Our next guest is here to talk about Wilson. He is North Carolina State's defensive coordinator. He's coached at Pitt. He's coached at West Virginia. I think the last time I talked to him, we were at an event at Heinz Field, and he was asking me about the Pirates. Now, the Pirates, I think, were coming off a 105-loss season, so it was not the most positive conversation. Tony Gibson with us. Tony, you still following the Buccos down in Raleigh?
I am. They started out hot. They were rolling for a minute, but I have faith. Always going to be a Buccos fan.
And you coached Peyton Wilson, whose brother pitched for the Pirates. How about that?
Yes, it was good. Bryce. We actually were scheduled to, Peyton's mom and dad, we were going to get up to Pittsburgh and watch Bryce pitch, and then they traded him to the Brewers.
And now he's pitching against the Pirates like the other day.
Yep.
Now, does Peyton have a good fastball? Did he ever try to uncork one like his brother at practice?
I don't know. We never played any baseball, but I'm sure he's athletic, so I'm sure he could do it all.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to just cut to the chase here on the one thing that people seem to be concerned about. At least that's what Ian Rappaport said, that 22 teams looked at Peyton Wilson's medical and said he'll only be able to play one contract because the knee. You coach this guy, and he put up huge numbers, as I just pointed out. Did it look like the knee was an issue for him when he was under your tutelage?
Never. I mean, those knee injuries were early, really before I ever got to Raleigh. So the last 5 years I've been here, he's never had an issue with the knee. So I don't bet against him. And if I was a betting man and there was a line in Vegas where whether he would only play one contract, I would not take that bet. I would take, I think this guy's an 8-10 year pro, in my opinion.
Is there any, I'll just follow up with the only other injury people have obviously talked about, any lingering worries about his shoulder? I guess it was described by somebody as, quote, a not great operation to fix it. Any lingering stuff there?
No, not at all. You know, Dr. Andrews, it's, highly respected in the profession, in the medical field. He did the surgery, and that thing held up.
Dr. James Andrews. Yeah, we've heard that name in baseball for decades, Tony. That's who did it. Interesting.
Yeah, that's who did it. And, Dr. Andrews, he's a big NFL guy that does a lot of surgeries for them. And, so there's no concern. I mean, you got to figure he over the last 2 years, over 200 tackles and big collisions, and it's never been an issue, knock on wood. But, I don't think that injuries are going to be an issue at all for him.
Tony, his athletic profile, how many guys can you say over the course of your entire career coaching football give you the size and then the athletic ability that Wilson displayed while you were coaching him at that position?
Linebacker position, I've never had one like him. In 30 years of doing this, coaching at Michigan, Arizona, Pitt, West Virginia, I've never had a guy like him ever, with the size and the speed and the athletic ability and, how loose he is. I mean, he's a smooth mover, never wasted movement out on the football field. Never had one like him. I describe him, he's a unicorn. Mm. Yeah, that dude's rare. I haven't had one like him at all.
Tony, you were at Pitt in 2011. He sounds like Todd Graham's kind of defensive player. Speed, speed, speed. He's a left lane hammer down type of defensive player, huh?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
If an NFL team called and said, hey, we're considering drafting this guy, maybe like the Steelers did before they picked him, give us a game or give us a tape that illuminates or is emblematic of this guy being a potentially great NFL player, what would you tell him to go watch, Tony, and why?
This year it'd probably be the Clemson game. Was all over the field. Had an interception that kind of, I think the game was, I think it was 14-7 or 14-3 maybe. And he had a pick to start the third quarter that just kind of busted the game wide open. But, he's just all over the field. And really, I can't sit here and tell you that there's a game that I wouldn't tell a scout to go watch.
Ooh.
And that's just being as honest with you as I can be. The kid loved to practice, loved to compete, loves to play the game. Everything that you want, from a player, as a coach, Peyton Wilson is that guy.
What's the most impressive skill he's got in the way he plays linebacker as far as how it'll transfer? The NFL obviously stresses players at that position. It's a tough one to play well, off-ball linebacker in the league. What does he do right this second without any NFL coaching yet or experience that you think is going to really help him make that transition to the league?
Yeah, I just think that he gets people on the ground. Mm. And that's the key. Whether it's at him, away from him, it doesn't matter. I mean, he is going to track the ball down and get people on the ground. I think the wrestling background plays into that. He's such a good tackler. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. And he has the speed to run things down, like I said, away from him. And I don't, even making the jump to the NFL, where I know it's the, you're talking about the greatest athletes in the world, he's going to be right there and be able to do the same thing he did in college, in my opinion.
Man, the listeners down in Washington County and Greene County, it must be loving this. That's three wrestlers in this draft class, Malzahn.
Correct.
Frazier, Lee, and Wilson. I didn't know Wilson.
Called the McGuffey class.
Tony Gibson, NC State defensive coordinator. We've done all the measurable stuff, Tony, but how about upstairs? Football IQ, football instincts. I mean, that's part and parcel of playing the position. You've watched a lot of great ones. Where does he come down in that part of his game?
Yeah, and I think that Peyton credits that to, obviously us as a coaching staff, but also he had two linebackers that are NFL guys that he was in the same room with for 3 or 4 years, with Drake Thomas and Isaiah Moore. And those guys, they were students of the game, and Peyton learned a great deal from those two. Those two left, and Peyton kind of took that room over and really the whole defense, and would call meetings on his own in the summertime. And during the season on Mondays, their off day, you know, you could go down the linebacker room and he's in there with all of them just going over the game film of our, you know, opponent that we're about to play. And just he studies it, he knows it, you know, he anticipates what's going to happen to him and how they're going to try to attack the scheme. And, you know, he's a football junkie. I mean, he lives it and breathes it. So
we know that he's had to overcome these injuries. Can you just describe the makeup of the person himself when you're there for pretty much all of this, Tony, watching him battle through, have to, you know, he's got a busted knee, he's got to get over, he's got the shoulder. What you saw from him personally, kind of just getting through and persevering through what have to be setbacks that are tough for any kid at that point in their career.
Yeah, and again, going back, I've been doing this a long time, and probably the most devastated I've ever seen a kid after an injury. Carl Joseph was a kid I had at West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, we remember him. Steeler, yep, safety.
Carl was a kid. He got devastated, you know, in his senior year, got hurt, tore ACL, and Peyton was that same guy. I can remember hugging him at halftime in the locker room, Mississippi State. And he was just devastated, you know, the why me, you know, I can't believe this is happening again. And just what he went through that night when he tore the shoulder up and then the rehab piece of it. And I think where people, you asked me a question earlier about the wasn't a successful surgery. What happened with that is he got an infection. So it had nothing to do with the surgery piece. Mm-hmm.
So nothing structural. Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was an infection that he got. So then he had to battle back through that. But this kid got, you know, he got surgery in late September, early October. And by spring ball, he was ready to go, even with the infection piece, and wanted to go, wanted to practice. And you know, as a coach's decision, we weren't going to let him do that at that time.
Gotcha. Tony, this sounds like an all-time steal. I mean, they got a guy that runs this fast, who tackles and knows the game inside and out, and he was on the board with the 98th pick.
Yeah, what I tell everybody, and, you know, I talk to a lot of scouts, obviously, coming in about him. If somebody was going to hire me in the NFL to be a linebacker coach, a defensive coordinator, whatever it may be, and they said, you have your choice, who are you picking out of anybody on the board, Peyton Wilson would be my number one pick. And sitting there going through it, watching it the other night, you know, and teams were passing him by, I was just like, wow. You know, I can't believe that they're doing this. And obviously, being a Steeler fan and a Pirates fan and, you know, all that, I loved it. I mean, when it got to that pick and, you know, before it came on the TV, I started getting hit up by some scouts and, hey, Peyton's going to be a Steeler. And I was elated. I mean, I couldn't be any happier.
Well, we watched a guy they picked 10th at inside linebacker run, but he couldn't tackle me. And that was Devin Bush. So it sounds like we finally got that problem fixed. Tony,
yeah, Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. He's going to get people on the ground. And people are Pittsburgh. I think he's going to be a favorite for them. I know the mentality there and,
yep,
and all that. So he's going to be a great one. And, you know, he is a steal. And, you know, he's going to have great success.
Tony Gibson, NC State defensive coordinator and diehard Pirates fan. Tony, thanks for coming out with us, man. We'll do it again soon.
Yep, thank you guys.
There you go.